T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
NFL advanced stats analyst Warren Sharp. Of course, from sharpfootballstats.com, sharpfootballanalysis.com. Warren, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing well, man. The Browns finally won a game. Everybody's really excited, pumped up, and especially because, you know, the way Baker Mayfield played and looks so good to the naked eye. How did he look to you, and how did the computers say he looked, if you will?
Oh, it was definitely night and day compared to Tyrod Taylor, of course. The math, the model said that as well. 54% of his passes graded out as successful, whereas with Tyrod it was only 12%. He definitely seemed like he had the reads correct. He was making precision throws, even a couple of passes to his left-hand side that, if you look at some of the passing charts, you know, didn't look great in terms of showed red as incompletions. Those were on-target passes that were dropped. So I think the arrow's pointing up. It's really looking optimistic for his inclusion into that offense, and I'm obviously excited to see what he can do this upcoming week.
Hey, Warren, when you look at what he did in that game, is it such a small sample size that it's tough to predict, you know, how he's going to go throughout the rest of the year? Or was there some things that you saw in there that you looked for that maybe can predict the success he's going to have?
It's definitely difficult because he's having to execute the plays that were called in that particular situation. And obviously it's a situation where they were trailing 14-3 at halftime. So they had to come back and get back into that game. So they had to go a little bit more pass heavy. The defense was allowing runs a little bit easier. Run plays, it's easier to run the ball, obviously, when you're trailing in the second half. So it'll be interesting to see when he goes on the road, if first up is out in Oakland. But there are optimistic things that you can take from that. And like I mentioned, kind of his ability to read the defense, his ability to throw it and on time and with precision and accuracy, I think those are things that would carry forward. And you would like to hope that he's only going to get better with the more reps that he's going to get as the first team starting quarterback going forward. I mean, that's one of the big difficulties that all of these guys who didn't start for their teams in week one and weren't pronounced starters heading into the season had, and that was that they didn't get the benefit of all the reps, especially late in camp. And those make a difference. And so now that he's going to be getting all those reps in practice with the first team, I think it's definitely going to be to his advantage.
Warren Sharp is with us, NFL advanced stats analyst. Warren, is there one particular stat that you specifically look at or use more so for quarterbacks? And you know, there's so many things out there that people look at. There's completion percentage. There's the amount of yards they throw for. There's yards per attempt. There's passer rating. There's multiple different types of passer rating. What do you use the most?
Well, first and foremost for me, I want to see how you're doing on early downs. And we know that, look at one of the best teams in the NFL, and that's the LA Rams. They've had 5 punts the entire season. 5. And how are they only having 5 punts? You know, there's only been 2 other teams in NFL history that were able to do that. 2007, New England Patriots, one of the best offenses in NFL history, went 16-0 that year during the regular season. Then the 92 49ers. So it's very rare to have as great of an offense as St. Louis has right as the LA Rams have right now. How are they doing that? It's because they're avoiding third downs. They're the best offense in the NFL at bypassing third down. So I like to look at what a quarterback does on early downs, or how far are they pushing the ball down the field, and as importantly, how efficient are they being with those throws. And if you look at the game, Baker Mayfield on early downs, he had a 53% success rate, a 29% first down rate, and he averaged 9.1 yards per attempt and completed 75% of his passes. A lot of it depends on what the coaching staff is willing to call, but I am a massive proponent of first down passing because the old adage, you know, let's protect the quarterback, let's run early. Well, the completion rate on first down has steadily risen over the years from the late 90s when it was down at 58%. It's now, the last 3 years, it was at 65%. So far this year, first down passing in the first half, 67% completions.
Wow.
So that floor has risen tremendously, whereas, you know, 42% of the time, if you're completing 58% of your passes on first and 10s in the first half, that means 42% of the time it's an incompletion. You're gaining no yards. A lot of coaches are like, well, I want those 2 to 3 yards because it keeps me a little bit closer to being on schedule, even though it really doesn't. You have to get 4 yards on first down to be considered closer to being on schedule. But that point aside, when you're throwing the ball and now you're completing upwards of 67% of your passes on first down, that really raises the floor and allows the coach to be a little bit more aggressive and call more pass plays on first down. So it's dialing up. Obviously, Todd Haley has to dial up the play calls, but it's having a high success rate of passes on first down will allow you to pass the ball more, will allow your offense to be a lot more successful, put yourself in easier third downs as well as bypassing third down. And that's the name of the game, is bypassing those third downs as often as possible so that you can move down the ball down the field and never be in the situations where it's third and medium / long and you're in a predictable pass situation where the defense can pin their ears back and blitz.
We're talking with Warren Sharp, NFL advanced stat analyst. Warren, you know, it drives me crazy when coaches punt on fourth and really short, especially fourth and one or less. I go bananas with that. Doug Peterson went for it on fourth down more than any other coach last year and was successful. I heard Dirk Cutter, and I know they're off to a good start, even though they lost yesterday, but he said, I want to say it was two Saturdays ago, I heard him make a comment where he said, well, I know the advanced stats tell me that I should go for it on fourth down, but I don't want to do it because if I don't make it, I'm going to get fired. When he made that statement, I would have fired him if I were the owner of the Buccaneers. The 5 minutes after he made that statement, Warren, your thoughts on going for it in fourth down, and coaches that are essentially afraid of analytics?
Well, your point is the bigger point to be made here, and that is that this is the reason why we're going to see a bigger divide between the haves and the have-nots in the world of analytics and making smarter decisions as it affects your football team. And this is why. The teams that have the better coaches and or the more successful teams are the ones that don't have the fear to employ out-of-the-box thinking because, A, they know how difficult it is to win games in the NFL without those things. So they want to incorporate as much as they can because they want to be the very best. And, B, there's no fear that in case they have a bad game or they miss something and they can blame it on analytics or they can comment that, hey, we were doing this because it was something we saw and we were trying something different and it didn't end up working out. Those are the guys who aren't going to be so worried if a loss is going to get them fired because they have job security because they've got a good team to begin with. And so those teams are the ones who are going to be able to investigate more of the edges and incorporate them more onto their team and their coaching staff and their play calls and decision making. The teams that are in the have-not bucket, who have coaches like Dirk Cutter, where they're scared that they could get fired if they don't win, where they're nervous about their lack of talent, and they are maybe on the hot seat heading into the season, those are the guys that are going to be less likely to incorporate analytics, even though they should be, in reality, the most likely, because when you don't have as talented of a roster, you need to figure out other ways to try to bring edges onto your team and to compete with some of the teams with better rosters. That's when you should be incorporating analytics more. But those guys, they don't have as much experience with it, so they want to go out the way that they came in. If they're going to get fired, they want to get fired because they didn't get the job done, as opposed to, hey, I relied more on analytics and then the analytics let me down. So there is a bigger divide, I think, and that's going to play a role moving forward. What I am encouraged by is that you do have a lot of younger head coaches getting put in positions of power, like Kyle Shanahan, like Sean McVay, who are more open-minded to incorporating more analytically intelligent decisions into their football roster and staff and make those decisions. In terms of fourth downs, you're right. Teams should be going for it more often on fourth down. It's what I like to refer to as kind of like the low-hanging fruit as it comes to analytics, because there are definite situations. It's very black and white. Like, okay, on these situations, you should be going for it. On those, you should not. And it should be more evident, like the teams are incorporating those decisions a little bit more often. But you still have a little bit of reluctance from some coaches. But the decisions that are going to be more pervasive are those, like I'm mentioning, on first down. Are we going to try to throw the ball a little bit more on first down because it's actually going to help us out and it's going to be our quarterback's advantage, even though we've got a younger quarterback and we think we want to protect him? It's actually counterintuitive. Let's throw the ball a little bit more on first down because that's when the box is going to be stacked a little bit more against the run. We're going to have more advantageous opportunities to throw it. So you really do need to incorporate better analytics decisions on like first and second down, as opposed to just the random fourth downs that maybe happen one or two times a game where you should go for it as opposed to not. You'll have better overall success if you incorporate them throughout the course of the game.
Warren Sharp, NFL Advanced Stats Analyst, is our guest. Warren, as we look ahead to this weekend's matchup with the Browns and the Oakland Raiders, the Raiders are 0-3, and certainly, you know, their defense looks like they've certainly you've had their issues. Is this a good matchup for Baker Mayfield and the Browns?
It should be, yes. It definitely should be a good matchup for them. Look, Oakland, they've had some difficult travel situations. First of all, they played up in Denver in week two at altitude. You could tell those guys were completely gassed. Then they went last week all the way down to Miami and played in that heat and humidity down there. And they actually played a pretty good game overall. They really did a good job against Ryan Tannehill. They held the Miami passing game to just a 38% success rate on their passes. But what Miami was able to get is these big, explosive plays in the passing game. You know, Ryan Tannehill was very accurate in terms of a higher completion rate. And then they hit on a number of these big, explosive pass plays. They had four large pass gains, and that really helped Miami win that game. So it's encouraging for Baker Mayfield from that perspective, in that there should be those opportunities when you can take shots, but otherwise you can keep the ball closer to the vest and just have a pretty good success rate. This Oakland Raiders defense, you know, will try to get after you, but they do have some problems defending the pass. And right now, I believe that they rank 29th, so the fourth worst team in terms of pass rush, and they rank very poorly against the run. And so those are great facts to have on your side when you're an opposing quarterback going into hostile territory, especially when you don't have as great of experience. If you can get a run game going and establish a strong run game. And Miami, they didn't gain a lot of yardage in terms of their average yards per carry on their runs. Frank Gore was very inefficient with what he did on the ground running the football. However, they were able to avoid having too many issues with that because they could get that short passing game going, and because they just had other edges in the passing game. So overall, I think there's plenty of opportunities for the Cleveland Browns to stay competitive in this game. And then you just hope that you can win it late. You want to just stay in the game early, especially on your first start on the road. You got a little bit extra time to prep because you did play on the Thursday night. And look, the Oakland Raiders, though, it's not as if you're going to be walking into a friendly situation. Oakland, Cleveland, you know, there's some history there. And in addition, Oakland is desperate for a victory, you know, at 0-3. So I like the fact that hopefully Cleveland can get the ground game going, some of the short passing, and then hit some more explosive plays over the top. I think they've got an excellent opportunity to try to compete this weekend.
Warren, great insight, man. Keep fighting the good fight. You know, there was a time, of course, where baseball people scoffed at advanced analytics, and now it's taken over the game completely. And I think you'll eventually get there in football, too.
Yeah, I believe so. I think the tide is turning in terms of, especially with the Eagles winning the Super Bowl last year, incorporating more analytics into it, and some of the smarter teams doing so as well. So hopefully that definitely becomes more of par for the course.
Warren, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining
us. Thanks for having me.
All right, Warren Sharp, NFL Advanced Stats Analyst.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.